Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior trends and friends.
Hi, I'm Holly Becker from the interior blog Decorate. I'm an author, a stylist, and I have my own magazine called Holly. And now my new podcast, which is Hello Holly. It's a podcast about interiors, zeitgeist, and friendship. I'll talk to creators, bloggers, designers, basically my friends, and I want to know what drives them, what inspires them, and what motivates the creative minds behind all the things that we love. I'm also keen to learn more about design from them, and also, I'd like to know what makes a house a home. So, are you ready? Hi, this is Holly Becker. Welcome to the Hello Holly podcast. I am so excited to welcome my first guest because this is the debut podcast. So this is I'm actually quite nervous, but I'm really excited because this is the debut podcast and I had to think of who I would want to be on my first podcast. And that was quite hard. And then I thought, well, who do I really feel a connection to? Who has inspired me over the years? And who have I been hanging out with a lot on my many travels? And I thought of Nikki Brandmark. She would be perfect because she has such a great eye. She's a design expert and she's from the blog My Scandinavian Home. And she's here with me today. So I'm really excited to learn from Nikki more about Scandinavian design, more about her life, what challenges she's faced, what's driving her, what she's excited about, and and what makes her house a home. So welcome, everybody. I'm so happy that you're here today with us on this podcast, and I am so happy you're here, Nikki. Hello.
Hi, Holly. Hi. What an honor to be a part of your debut podcast. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm really glad you're here. And we're in Hamburg, so this was really excited. We flew you in, and I hope you've been having fun so far this morning with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. And the sun came out for you, so that's nice. So, Nikki, I'd love to first tell the audience a little bit about who you are, or maybe you can do it. But from my perspective, you're a Scandinavian dynamo. You're an expert. You cover all the latest trends on your site and your Instagram. You've written books about Scandinavian design, also the Scandinavian philosophy of Lagom. There's nothing I don't think you haven't touched yet. You even have your own interior design consulting service. So I would like to know, from your perspective, tell me a little bit about yourself. What are you doing?
Well, originally from London, I've been living in Sweden for 16 years, but I'm right in the south, so I'm just over the bridge from Copenhagen. So I get to see a lot of Danish design and Swedish design, and then also like to travel to Norway as well. So I'm in the really, really fortunate position of being a bit of an outsider coming from London, but being an eye within Scandinavia and reporting on all the latest Scandinavian design trends.
Great. And I definitely see that you love Scandinavian design. So I want to ask you my first question that I want to ask all my guests, because I think it's an important question, is what are you really excited about at the moment? What's really on your radar that you just can't stop thinking about?
Well, I mean, first of all, I have to say that I had a bit of a bump earlier this week because it went suddenly from 25 and 6 degrees in Sweden to like 17 and rain. And I was like, oh no, the autumn's here. And I know that sounds terrible, and I'm trying to tap into my inner hygge, desperately lighting candles left, right, and center. Because I'm getting ready for this dark winter, but that also means like the start of a lot of new projects, a lot of businesses are sort of gearing up for the season to come. And I'm really excited to see so much in the world of sustainability right now. A lot of brands working really hard to try to streamline the way they work, the products they're making, and trying to make a difference in whatever way they can. I think it's a really important movement.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm seeing that as well. It seems to be a big trend all throughout Europe and even in the Americas. And I think it's a very important topic. So I want to know, because I don't even know this myself, I don't know the answer to this, is why did you start blogging about Scandinavian design, particularly Scandinavian design, when you're a British girl? So how did that happen?
Well, even from a young age, I was, you could say I'm super nosy. And when I was a little girl in London, I used to absolutely love looking around people's homes.
Yeah.
And I'd find any excuse to go upstairs just to have a nosy around. And when I moved to Scandinavia to be with my Swedish husband, the first thing they actually do when you're new in someone's home is they'll take you on a tour. I could not believe my luck. And I noticed that Scandinavians have this natural flair for design. They really work hard to create a beautiful home. It's so important for them to create a nice environment that's practical and comfortable. And I was absolutely transfixed by it, by someone who feels environment's so important anyway. I was just mesmerized by the way they do things.
And they're bringing a lot of that interpretation of nature indoors. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also that for me, a home is about creating, it's the one part of your life that you can really control. It's the one environment that you get to do exactly what you want. And, you know, someone who I feel like I like to socialize and be out, but when I go home, I like to feel like it's a bit of an oasis and somewhere you can really relax and recharge. And Scandinavian design is very calm, and it brings in nature and raw natural materials, and it really does feel like an oasis. So yeah. I kind of wanted to document that in some way, and the blog seemed to be a perfect place online to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And when did you start on My Scandinavian Home?
Oh my gosh, it seems like a lifetime ago now. I can't remember what the life without it, but it was November 2011.
Wow. Okay. So what has been driving you all these years? Because a lot of people start a blog and they stop quickly, or they start an Instagram account and 6 months later, they're like, oh, forget it. I'm not doing this anymore. What do you think motivates you to keep going for so many years on the same topic?
Yeah, well, firstly, I have to say I am an incredibly stubborn person. Just ask my husband. So if I'm doing something, I'll be there till the bitter end. But I also feel a responsibility. Like, I love to feel that my Scandinavian home is like a positive bubble, somewhere people can come to for even half an hour a day just to get some inspiration and maybe feel good and get some ideas. And if I'm not there, I feel a little bit, you know, I feel I have a responsibility now to keep, you know, keep being present and keep inspiring and also talking about Scandinavian designers and what they're doing. So
Yeah, I think that's a good message that you're putting out there. I like the way you express that. It's a positive bubble where people can go and they can just turn off their worries for the day. They can go and live in your world and experience Scandinavian design through your eyes. What do you think makes your blog different? I mean, you're an expat in Sweden blogging about Scandinavian design versus someone who's Swedish blogging about Scandinavian design. What's your angle there? How do you think you're a little different from someone who may be living there or is Scandinavian?
I think sometimes it's hard to, if you're so used to something, it's very hard to step back and see it with fresh eyes. If someone asked me what British design was, I'd find it so hard. If someone said, define British interior design, I just wouldn't really know. But when you come as an outsider into a new world, you see everything with completely fresh new eyes, and you can pinpoint certain things that resemble that genre.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I had that also moving into Germany. People were laughing at me and they said, what do you like about German design? Ha ha. Like, they didn't understand that to me, it was actually very interesting. But like you said, when you're used to something, it's no longer that interesting to you anymore, is it? It's like people always say you in your family, you're never that interested in your family. And then all of a sudden, you know, something happens and suddenly you're really interested in your family, right? Because you always take advantage of what you see every day. That's really something good that you highlighted that. So you talked earlier about Scandinavian design and you went into a bit about the naturalism and how it's taking things from nature. And it's also just about living in simplicity. But I'd like to know, maybe you could tell our listeners, what are some of the definite hallmarks of Scandinavian design? So if someone's listening and maybe they want to make their home more Scandinavian, how exactly could they do that? What are some of the hallmarks? And then maybe tell us what they could do to Scandinavian up their home.
I mean, of course, one of the first things I would say is it's fairly minimalist. It's very understated, quite pared back. People tend to not have a lot of things. But the beauty of Scandinavian design in particular is that also it balances with this comfort as well. So they manage to make it feel cozy at the same time. And I think that's the beauty of this style. So it's about minimalism. It's about practicality. The homes tend to be very practical. Form and function combined is the essence of the design. language, also sustainability. So people think a lot about buying things that will stand the test of time, beautifully crafted items made from wood and other natural materials that they can be passed on to other generations as well.
Okay, good. So if someone wanted to make their home more Scandinavian, then I guess you're suggesting bring in more natural materials, more tactile elements like furs or, you know, maybe certain leathers and woods, things that are more tactile, right? And what else could they bring in too?
Yes, I would say also it's what you can sort of get rid of as well.
Okay, good. So it's also minimalizing.
I think, you know, you would probably, start, if you tend to hoard and have a lot of stuff, I think probably one of the first things would be to have a bit of a declutter.
Yeah.
And, you know, get rid of things that, you know, give them to secondhand or vintage shops, pass them on to friends, things that you just don't find useful or love.
Yeah. So interior detox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just created a new hashtag, interior detox. But I actually love that idea because recently I've been doing that in my own home and I feel so much lighter and brighter when I have less around me. And that's what I wanted to ask you. What are some of the things in Scandinavian design that you've applied to your lifestyle that's benefited you in some way? Is it also having less, or what are some things that you do at home that's Scandinavian that has made things nicer for you?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of it evolved over time because I remember coming from England and I had quite a lot of stuff in our house in Sweden. And then my mum came to visit one day and went, "Nikki, where are all your things?" I said, "I've got loads of stuff." She went, "You don't have anything." So, and I think I realized then I'd had actually sort of really decluttered. And someone who's a little bit, shall we say, messy and can be a little bit disorganized, my family will say that's an understatement. I think having less has meant it's been easier to be organized. It's made me feel much calmer because I'm not always hunting through mountains of stuff to find things. And also, I think that I've recognized that by getting rid of things and having less items, that you can see the shape and the beauty of the things that you do have. And I love that because it means that you appreciate everything you have more.
Yeah.
So less is more.
Yeah, that's true. And when you have readers writing into you or you've noticed the comments on your Instagram, what do you think resonates with people living outside of Scandinavian countries about Scandinavian design? What do you think it is that's the draw?
I mean, I think one of the absolute beauties of it, and I only really sort of thought about this recently, actually, is that because Scandinavian design is so simple, the lines tend to be very clean, the shapes and the forms are that's very undecorative, and all the colours are quite earthy and simple and white and neutral. It means it's really easy to bring into your existing home, even if you, no matter what your architectural style, no matter the period of your home, no matter what you already have in your home, it will sort of seamlessly fit in. And that means it's very versatile.
Yeah, and that's really nice to have a versatile environment, isn't it? Because we change and evolve as people. So, of course, our interior environment also changes and evolves. And if we have something that's, you know, if we have something that's really, we paint our walls red, and then 2 years from now, we don't feel red anymore.
Yeah.
We feel more blue, right? But if you keep your foundation colors neutral, then you can just add in colors or different textures as you feel it, right? And then you can put them aside if you're feeling different. Do you do that at home, actually? Do you rotate things that you want to bring in by the season, or how do you decorate?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you're saying, Holly, because I feel that if you have some staples, like a beautiful wooden table or timeless furniture that's never going to go out of style, and you can have those pieces and as a sort of backdrop, and then you can just bring in little accessories here and there that are totally on trend. I have actually been banned from buying any more cushions from my husband.
Yeah, cushion obsession. Yeah.
Oh, because they're so perfect. Cushions and throws from just bringing in the latest season colors or whatever takes your fancy without a major investment.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to ask you about your latest book, Lagom. I hope I've pronounced that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you give our listeners the definition of this Swedish word and also tell us a little bit about your book? I'd love to know more. I actually have it and I've read some of it, maybe half. I love the photography
only
in
half,
it.
Only half, Holly.
Yeah, only half because it's quite a read.
Savoring it.
Well, because it's not all pictures, like everything, you know. It's actually, there's a lot to read and I like going through the different chapters and learning about. So I know a little bit about Lagom, but I'm pretending not to know because the listeners may not know. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Lagom is a really interesting word. It's only only in Sweden, a Swedish word. It's okay. Very specific to Sweden as well. There's no translation.
Mm-hmm.
Is in another like language. Right. So, hygge is sort of an ambience. It's about creating a warm, cozy yeah. atmosphere that's yeah. familiar to you, makes you feel good.
Okay.
Lagom means not too much, not too little, just right.
Mm-hmm.
It's about finding a balance in all areas of your life that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, you're slowing down, you're doing things in uncomplicated ways. The perfect is in the imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, enough can be good enough. And I feel like in a time when we're sort of super stressed and we're connected 24/7 and, you know, we never remember where someone's messaged us, whether it's on Messenger, Instagram,
yeah, I know,
Snapchat.
Right? There's no more such thing anymore as just email, right?
Yeah, exactly.
People contacting you five different things.
Where did they message me?
Yeah,
I can't
right.
find it. And I feel that we have a lot of pressure. We're expecting, yeah. we can suddenly do everything. It's an amazing opportunity. But at the same time, it's a little bit stressful because we don't have all the time in the world. So it's about slowing down and finding a balance that works for you.
Yeah. And is there any tip that you can give listeners about how to apply this to their lives? If they're stressed and they're running around and they can't seem to calm down, what is a lagom principle that they could take away from this podcast and apply to their life?
I think the Swedes are really, they say several things I hear every day, which I love. And I kind of try to think of them in my head. And one of them is things like Deleuze's say, it's going to work itself out.
Okay.
And less is more again, you know, those kind of things that make you feel, okay, I don't need to make this perfect. I don't need to go over the top here. I can just keep things simple and things will work out and it will be fine.
Oh, that's nice. I actually feel more relaxed after hearing that. Like I could fall asleep. My shoulders dropped. I'm like, oh, it was like kind of a mental massage when you said that. Really, it was nice. It's a nice message because we are always rushing and we feel like we never can get enough done. And that's also a question I want to ask you is how do you do it all? Because you're managing a blog, you're managing an Instagram account, you're managing your interior consulting service in Gothenburg, right? And then you also have probably your next book you're going to be working on. You do work with brands. You have two daughters, aged 9 and 11, and an 18-year-old stepson, you said?
Yep.
And a husband. So you have 4 kids. Sorry. I had to say that. So you have 3 children and a husband. So how do you manage all of this?
First of all, I have to say that I am one of my lucky, very lucky skills I've only realized since having to do all this is that I am so unbelievably efficient. Literally, when I'm working, an aeroplane could land in the same room and I wouldn't notice it.
Okay.
So I have sort of this tunnel vision to my computer or whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I like to do things fast and get them done.
Yeah.
And I think that's helped me a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
But secondly, I have a Swedish husband who's grown up with Lagom. So he's there next to me, you know, after 5 saying, you're not going to be on your phone. You're not going to be on your computer. So he's there.
The manager.
I would probably have carried on otherwise, but he helps me to try to find the balance then to be with my family. But I have to say, if he's not there one evening, I've got everything out. My magazine, my Netflix, my phone, all in one go.
It's a multitask queen. So if you were actually a superhero, you would have the ability to hyper-focus. That's your ability
yeah.
then, because you can really focus. I like that what you said, your plane could land in the room and you wouldn't notice. That actually is a real skill that you can focus like that. So that makes sense. That's how you're doing 1,000 things in a day. Do you ever have that guilt at the end of the day that you didn't finish everything or you weren't there more for your family? How do you deal with those types of personal challenges?
I think when you have your own business, you would recognize this as well, Holly,
yeah.
that you can never do enough.
Yeah.
There's always something else to do, always.
Mm.
And it's very difficult, especially if you work from home from time to take to just carry on.
Yeah, right.
But my sister once gave me a really, really amazing tip when my kids were tiny. She said, you just need to do one thing with them that day.
Oh,
whether
yeah.
it's to sit down and do a jigsaw puzzle, whether it's to do some writing, even watching a TV program, but giving them your undivided attention, even for 10 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone will feel better and enjoy it. So I feel like you shouldn't put too much pressure on yourself because we're not superheroes, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, but I think so many people really try to do it all and it's impossible. And it's good to have a balance. And I think that's why you wrote the book Lagom, right? Because it's really teaching about being more mindful and balanced. And a lot of times we write about the things that we ourselves want more of ourselves, right? So it makes a lot of sense that someone like you, who's such a powerful woman on the internet and also with your books and everything, would be a person who also craves and wants more of this in their life. So that's nice. So I have some more questions for you. I can't stop talking. I'm so excited to have you because you actually, you're very well spoken, Nikki. You have a lot of nice answers.
Oh,
you, there's
thank
no pause.
You.
I love it. It's so nice to talk to you. So I wonder right now, when with the world of interiors, like you mentioned some trends that you like, the sustainability trend, et cetera. But what do you think could be coming? Is there anything that you think is going to become a movement? Can you look into your crystal ball and tell us?
One of the things that I've noticed recently, which I think is really, I love, is this all this circular rounded edged furniture that's coming into play.
Curves.
I love it because, I mean, architecture, is it just me, but architecture seems to be getting more and more boxy.
Yes.
And, you know, in the olden days, we had all this elaborate cornicing and everything, but now it's much stricter. And now we're seeing, you know, round or oval-shaped tables, rounded chairs, and even the base of the tables is rounded. And it's just, I think it's giving homes a bit more balance and harmony in a really nice way. And I think we'll see more and more of this softer edged furniture.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I've noticed that as well, especially when you go to Milan. I think 2 years ago, it started to really pop up in Milan. And I just hope it continues because I also feel the same way. Everything is just so boxy. And it's nice to have a little bit of movement. That organic sculpturalness of it is really lovely. What do you think about this? I notice when I'm somewhere that's beautiful, I automatically act differently. I act cooler. And when I'm in a slouchy environment that's not too pretty, I tend to act like, well, maybe myself. So I wonder, what do you think when you're in a beautiful environment? Do you think that that impacts a person's behavior? Do you think it's something scientific or do you think it's just fluff?
I think that I can't say about beautiful environment, but just the general environment will definitely affect everyone. It has to, as you say, like, I'm just thinking about, you know, myself personally, I love having a beautiful environment. And if I'm surrounded by beautiful things, I feel happier.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really me.
Yeah.
But if you take someone like my stepson, I could honestly paint his walls pink with red spots and he would not even notice.
Yeah.
But I do think, though, that if his room is tidy and it's structured, then he will feel more organized and probably a bit calmer.
Yeah, okay.
We don't get to see that very often, but you know, the environment around you will certainly affect your mood in some way, whether you're into design or not.
Yeah, it's actually true. I noticed with my son recently, his room was so cluttered. And we took about 40% of his toys and books out of the room and just stored them. And his behavior was different. He was so much more calm and he really seemed to enjoy more of what he was playing with because there was less of it. So I think behaviorally, it does impact us.
Yeah, it's so funny you should say that because in my Largon book, I wrote about toys. And again, it's this whole less is more thing that, you know, children feel really quickly overwhelmed if they have too many toys. Mm. So you can rotate them and take them away and just give them a certain number at a time and they'll enjoy them so much more.
Mm, yeah, that's true. So I want to get back a little bit more personal with you because I'm pretty fascinated by the fact that you've live outside of your home country in a foreign country and you've built this empire. What are some personal challenges you've had with that, though, living in Sweden versus like the day-to-day living in London? Because I know there must be some. I've had them.
I think when I first moved to Sweden, I was 27.
Yeah.
And I remember
a few years ago.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, last year. Okay.
A couple of years ago. Yeah. And I remember actually someone saying, come to Malmo for a holiday. And I was like, where? I didn't actually know where it was.
Right.
And I remember moving, before I moved, I kind of went to visit. My husband did this whole PR campaign and showed me all the best things. We were doing all this great stuff. And I was like, wow, I love this place.
Wow, he's really trying to impress you.
Yeah. And then I moved over and I was like, so what are we doing this weekend? He was like, nothing. I was like, oh man, PR over, this is the real life now. But it was a bigger culture shock than I thought. Malmo was a very different place 16 years ago. It's grown incredibly. It's a really, really fabulous city, but it wasn't the same back then. It was not, there wasn't as much happening. And as a 27-year-old coming from London, I'd certainly noticed that.
Yeah.
But my saving grace was that Copenhagen was over the bridge as well at the time. So obviously I had that as a capital city to visit.
Yeah.
And there were several, I mean, I could talk about this for hours and I promise you, Holly, I'm not going to do that. But basically, I think that the bottom line is that I've evolved with Scandinavia. And I think with all countries, you have to take what they have to offer rather than trying to live my London life in Sweden. And I just absolutely love the fact that I'm so near nature. My husband and I are big sailors. We've got the forest down the road. It's just a really wonderful country to bring up children. So I'm super happy there.
Oh, good. So that must be why you stay. It's changed a lot in 16 years. And what's the art and design scene like there? That has also evolved or?
Yeah, and it's such a pleasure to be a part of it. Because I get to meet a lot of the local designers and it's a really, really buzzy city in terms of startups and new businesses. They're a really big movement where they're trying to support young entrepreneurs and new entrepreneurs with their businesses. And from that sense, it's very exciting to see what's coming out of Malmo. A lot of patents. It's one of the fifth most innovative city in the world.
Wow. So I would say that that's a big reason to stay there. And it's also probably nice because it's not as big as London, so your voice can be heard. Because I love living in Hanover for that reason. You know, it's a small city in comparison to Berlin or Hamburg. But I also feel like it's a bit of a village. So you know everyone, you have a personal relationship. Whereas if I lived in a larger city, I might lose that sense of being part of a community because I didn't grow up in a big city. So yeah, it's interesting. So we need to wrap up soon, even though I don't want to. I have so many more questions for you, but let's see. I think one thing I'd like to know is what is next for my Scandinavian home? Like, what are you looking to do next? Will you write another book? What do you want to do?
Oh, I've been giving this a lot of thought lately because, you know, I don't know, you know as well, Holly, when you have a blog, there are so many different directions you can actually go in. It's incredible. But I'm super excited because I'm moving into an office right in the center of town with another product designer, Maria Gustafsson, who's Swedish ninja, and an upholsterer, Karina Grefma. And I'm super excited to be in a new, really creative environment. I'm considering a new book at the moment. I've started sort of thinking about it, talking to people about it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to growing the new online interior design business, which we started back in March. And that sort of started to take traction and growing and getting really exciting. And we're seeing some really nice results and got some lovely clients. So I feel that there's a lot in the pipeline, but I'm not 100% sure which.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like anything with an entrepreneur, right? You have to go with what the feeling is. You know, your gut always tells you what's right. And it also has to do with the trends of the moment, what's the right direction. There's so much about it that you have to consider. But the best thing about it is that we have you every day online. You are posting relentlessly on Instagram. I'm sitting there sometimes looking at your feed and like, ding, 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 new pictures. It's amazing how you do it. And I want to ask one question before I ask the final question, because it came in from one of the Instagram readers on @decorate. When I posted about this podcast, they said, can you ask her one thing? One reader wanted to know, how do you find your content?
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, it's, most of it I find online, Pinterest, Instagram. There's so much creativity on Instagram. Like, I love to find small people with, you know, less followers who are doing beautiful things sort of really raise them up. You know, portfolios from architectures, interior design and portfolios.
Yeah. And I'm sure people approach you as well, right?
Submissions.
Submissions.
Holiday homes.
Great.
So, a lot of research. Some weeks it just seems to fall into place. Others I'm sitting there sort of like searching every corner of the web trying to find something. But I'm so stubborn that I always want to make sure that it's really, really something I feel excited about.
Yeah. And I think too, like for people who are listening, I think that's one of the biggest draws on blogging and having Instagram influencers, et cetera, is you're out there and you're doing hours of research. You're actually making the job for the reader so much easier because you're going out and you're like, you know, catching all of it, and then you're picking out the best of the best, and then that's what goes to the reader. So the reader doesn't have to go online and spend hours looking for something. You've done it for them in a nice little package. So I think that's really where you add value. I'm personally, when I look at your site, that's how I feel. I'm like, wow, she always finds the best houses. But that probably took you 14 hours to find the best house, right?
Thank you, Holly.
Yeah, you're welcome. And so finally, the question that I want to ask all of my upcoming guests is, what makes your home a home?
I have several homes. My husband's a bit miffed by this, but my parents' home is still my home as well. So I go home to London and I have my home in Malmo. And I think it's a sphere that I feel I can be completely 150% my slobby self. and I've got my family there. Yeah. I feel that that was what really, really creates my home, rather than just being a house.
Yeah, wonderful. So it's been a great pleasure to have you here in Hamburg today. Thank you so much for being on my first podcast. And I wish you nothing but success. And I'm sure I'm going to see you very soon at some fairs. So thanks for having, well, I'm thanking you for being here, but thanks for having me in your world today, because it's been really nice to get to know you better. And some of these things I didn't actually know. So thank you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a real pleasure.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again, and have a nice day.